The Bible reading for the sermon is the text just read. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you have kept us in life and faith, that we can be here at this time. And we pray for the presence of your Holy Spirit to help us grow in wisdom through the study of your word, by growing in Christ and in faith and grace and hope and love. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Right after the Second World War, there were a lot of people moving to the big cities, one of which was Vancouver, British Columbia, where my first parish was, and through evangelistic outreach, we had a lot of these people coming there, and therefore I had to have my first adult membership class. So what does one teach in a membership class like this? Well, my answer was back to basics. The way we go back to basics, studying Luther's Small Catechism, even during our worship services here in chapel. And a text which covers these basics comprehensively is that in the 5th and 6th chapters of Hebrews, with a special introductory verse in chapter 4 which says that this merciful God in his grace come to help us in times of need. In other words, meeting the needs of the people. Now we're to grow in grace, first of all, by growing in Christ. This catechetical lesson, like the one in 1 Corinthians 3 and in 1 Peter in the second chapter, is Christ-centered. Jesus Christ is helper, protector, and savior. Like in the Creed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Strong emphasis on God coming down into history. Concrete, personal, helpful. And the letter to the Hebrews, it is addressed to those who would understand the order of Melchizedek, dimensions of the eternal and supernatural, which is so little stressed in modern theology. This supernatural, eternal dimension, which was in Melchizedek, was now in Jesus Christ, as he tries to explain to his audience. And he's discouraged because, oh, you're dull of hearing. You're like babes that have to be fed with milk. Difficult to explain the mysteries of Christ, and especially to make them meaningful in everyday practice. So in his Christ-centered help, to help us grow in wisdom, he emphasizes also that Jesus Christ is our protector. He's like a shepherd. Now, how do you explain that? I was helped trying to explain it to the modern audience by seeing a documentary film about the shepherds of Mexico who train their shepherd dogs when take them as little baby puppies when their eyes were still closed and put them in with the lambs and then let them grow up with the lambs, and that little puppy grew up to be a sheepdog who thought that he was a sheep, and he would protect the sheep against the wolves, the jaguars, and the mountain lions. He would sacrifice his life for those sheep. And so God comes down in Christ shepherd-like to show us the door to the sheepfold. And he's our Savior. That was understood by his audience too. The priest dimensions are described in a series of 3 chapters here. The one who would cry with his people, the one who would understand his people, and in Jesus Christ, the one who would sacrifice himself for us to save us from sin and death. That changed our destinies. Recently, I heard a speaker tell about how an ancient culture was changed by the sacrifice that had been going on. But this was a dimension of love that was shown in a mother. The people were taking their elderly parents up on a mountainside, exposing them to die when they were too old to be of any help. In this one instance, a boy was taking his mother up to the place on the mountain which was called the Place for the Mothers. He noticed going up the mountainside that she was dropping twigs along the way. He was saying goodbye to her. He says, "By the way, mother, why were you breaking those twigs along the way?" "Oh," she said, "that's so you could find your way back down again." That love so authentic in his mother changed him immediately. He took his mother in his arms and carried her back down to the family, and that practice was stopped. And so God comes down in his fatherly love in Jesus Christ and changes us and our destinies. So we are to grow in Christ. We are to grow in faith. That's another thing he talks about here. Faith and repentance. We are to repent of our sins. And we have plenty in our time too. I'm thinking especially of self-destructive tendencies as drug addiction in New York City, where social workers throw up their hands when the little babies born of drug-addicted mothers themselves are already addicted when they're born, and the social workers are saying, "We can't solve this immense problem." And a Christian grandmother, Mother Hale, comes into that community, takes those little babies in her home, feeds them milk, tells them about Jesus as they grow. They're changed so impressively that our president, in his inaugural speech this year, introduced her to that immense TV audience. So we are to repent and grow in faith in a way, and that was the problem of how to get this across to people dull of hearing, whose minds weren't motivated to try to understand it and put it into practice. And she demonstrates how that can be done, to grow in faith and to grow in grace, because we need the grace of God to help us, to empower us, to motivate us. And two things he mentions are baptism and laying on of hands. In baptism, the forgiveness of our sins, the new birth into the kingdom of God, the means of grace in the Word of God, in Bible study, in prayers we have in the basics in our catechism, as this mother who teaches little kids to pray. And so we teach prayer in the Lord's Prayer, and our laymen tell in survey after survey that they want to learn how to pray. We just sat at a table at the President's Advisory Council meeting where the people around the table said, "We're driving 35 miles to Bible study." They need to go back to basics. They want to grow in wisdom and in grace through the Word of God and through the sacraments. And then we're to grow in hope. Mentions judgment and the resurrection. You see, all of the basics are here. All of those elements of our catechism are here in this early classic Christian teachings of comprehensive doctrine. In that first parish where I was seeking how to teach new members, I understood they had serious problems in their lives. Needs. One pilot's wife was coming to the class. He was a pilot for the Royal Canadian Air Force during the Second World War, flying out of England to bomb Germany. He met a girl in London, married her. They had two children, came back to Canada after the war, lived in Saskatchewan, and like so many others, came to Vancouver, where he's now working for the Canadian Pacific Airlines, hauling military personnel to the Korean War. She was taking membership instruction, and I knew this was a serious thing, and as I taught the class, and he came to church with her on Sunday in his blue uniform, took a flight for Korea that afternoon, and then I received a telephone call from some of my members who were at her home. The plane was lost in what was called the Land of Lost Planes over the coast of Alaska. He was navigator, sleeping on that particular part of the trip, and had still not taken his part of the job. It had a little beeper on the plane that's supposed to help you find the plane, beep, 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 and that also died out. I went to the home, came to the little white gate in a fence in front of the house, and little children were making mud pies and muffin tins. came running. Did they find our daddy? Did they? No. The storm prevents them from looking now. And they didn't find their daddy. I came into the house and the ladies from the church were back there in the kitchen. They brought food. They were ministering to this woman. Her parents were in London. His parents were in Saskatchewan. These people from the church were putting into practice the doctrines of Christianity in ministering to her. She came out into the living room, sat on the couch, buried her swollen eyes in her grief and shock. I talked to her, and then I reminded her. I said, Mrs. Krauschar, we were studying in our catechism, I believe in a resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. She raised her face, sat up straight, and looked in my eyes and said, I believe that. Amen.